Good morning. Welcome everyone to worship. Special welcome to all of you joining us from home. Today in our text we have a story of the blind beggar Bartimaeus, who is separate from Jesus and all his disciples, yet seems to know who he is. Maybe an analog for us, where so many of us are separate from each other right now during all this distancing, but still one community. A few announcements. First is that Pastor Lori is on vacation. She sent me a text with a photo of the beach in Maui and is doing very well at getting some very needed rest and recovery, and we're so pleased about that. Today, we're very thankful that Reverend Gary Powell is here, who will be presiding for us, and we'll be serving communion and so on. So we're very thankful for Gary. Also, a few announcements of upcoming events. On All Saints Day, that's Monday, November 1st, we will have our service outside in the Memorial Courtyard at 5 p.m. And rain or shine, we should have some kind of accommodation for if it's really raining, but bring your umbrellas, if not. But all are welcome for a really meaningful service. Also, a reminder that on November 7th is when we shift our clocks for the daylight savings time, but also it's when our service here begins at 8:30 instead of 9. The reason we do that is if we have our services at 8:30 and then 11, there's time for that education hour in between. Which we'll need the following week as we have our Cairo lectures November 12th through 14th with Reverend Dr. Mark Brocker, who is going to be here and who will be preaching for us. So several things coming up. Now, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship with our confession. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in that promise of grace, let us take a moment of silence for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, God gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Eternal light, shine in our hearts. Eternal wisdom, scatter the darkness of our ignorance. Eternal compassion, have mercy on us. Turn us to seek your face and enable us to reflect your goodness. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor, together, a great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading this morning is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But Jesus holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he has no need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. This he did once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priest those who are subject to weakness, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling to you." So throwing off his cloak, Bartimaeus sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you this drippy and dark morning. Have you noticed the change this week? I've been feeling it in the weather. Hibernation is coming. I wish. There are some traditional and valuable things that might be often said about today's account from the Gospel of Mark. One, it is the end half of what is called a pericope, which is a favorite literary framing device of Mark. Two, it continues the tradition in Mark and other gospels of using physical blindness as a metaphor for commentary on spiritual blindness and sight. And these are both fine things, but not what I want to talk about today. There is something in the story of Bartimaeus that though I have heard it many times since I was a young child, I have never heard before, and that overall I think it's quite curiously little airtime. And that is the way in which today's story, though it in many aspects fits the general genre of a healing story, also, and arguably better, fits examples in Gospels of call stories. To handle today's account of Bartimaeus as a healing story alone would not only be incomplete, but what it exposed to me as someone charged with the responsibility of bringing the word in preaching to the community is my own biases as a person without disabilities in an ableist society. So we're going to hold on to this moment, right, that this is a call story for Bartimaeus, and zero in on the particular thing that exposed for me my internal biases this week. It is something that as a sighted person I had never, ever noticed about this story. And it is the verse in which Jesus says to Bartimaeus, "What would you like me to do for you?" In never noticing this question before, I became aware in myself of the reflexive assumption that Bartimaeus seeks restoration of his sight. Jesus' question, by contrast, rang for me this week with affirmation of the dignity of the human being in front of him. I have heard several disability advocates speak repeatedly to their frustration as disabled people when encountering the misconception that they are unintelligent, incapable, or tragic. The barriers in the world for disabled people are incredibly real, but many of them are unnecessarily the result of designing a world around abled people. And this was not in any case less true in Jesus' day. But Jesus makes no assumptions about the reason Bartimaeus is calling to him and speaks to Bartimaeus with clarity and respect. With this pivotal moment in mind, let us rewind to the beginning of this narrative. Because while this moment rang out to me, this isn't really Jesus' story here. It is very clearly Bartimaeus who is the protagonist. We learn from the moment that he is introduced that he has, so far in this gospel, a uniquely clear and visionary perspective into who Jesus is. If one were tempted to say, Bartimaeus became a follower of Jesus following restoration of his sight, the text shows that is completely untrue. As a blind beggar sitting by the roadside, Bartimaeus is bold and persistent in his proclamation that Jesus is the Son of David, the first time we have heard this title applied to Jesus in Mark. And he pursues him vocally, right, because physically the crowds were a preventative factor for him, but vocally pursues him out of faith and full-hearted trust. To follow Jesus physically on the way, following restoration of his sight, is a continuation of the movement of his heart and made physically possible for him as a sighted person in a way that removed the barriers that were there for him as a blind person. Though the crowd speak to him sternly, making his path to Jesus difficult, Bartimaeus' trust in Jesus Christ is rightly placed. Again, Jesus affirms Bartimaeus' human dignity and is also able, through his faith, to honor his request for restoration of sight. And as a true disciple, Bartimaeus is called and follows Jesus on the way thereafter. While, of course, our modern conceptions of disability are anachronistic to Jesus' time, or that is to say, you can't just cast them back into Jesus' time and day and make that make sense. Today in our church collective body, I am becoming more personally aware that the way that we tell and hear stories like this matters. As much as we may say, of course we know and would find it horrifying if anybody ever said that disabled people are like broken toys who need to be fixed. What a horrible thing to say. And it is. That horribly offensive concept is unconsciously rampant in ableist society. How does today's gospel spell out something crucial for our attention? It highlights Bartimaeus as fully human, with dignity and agency, assessing his own needs and desires. He is gifted and called. He is a recipient of restored sight, but his physical sightedness is clearly not the impetus for his spiritual vision. In this same story, Bartimaeus is also an example of a true disciple, and is not the only such example we are given in Scripture. Disability advocate Stephanie Tate says, quote, "It wasn't until I started really exploring theology and my place in this world through the lens of my newly found identity as a disabled woman that I was really able to start connecting the dots on the idea of interdependence. It's in that giving and taking, and in that both of these are what is what humanizes us. Sometimes it means making intentional spaces for people who've always felt they're cast as the receivers to give something, to lead. Maybe it's stepping back, sometimes saying, I don't have to jump in and save them. I'd like to create an opportunity for them to show us what they're capable of. It's going to have an ebb and flow to it, but interdependence is the core relationship within the church that it was founded on. Everybody is giving and receiving, needing and taking and giving in a circle around and around until you can't tell where it stops anymore." End quote. We are charged as people of God to ask ourselves each time we read from the Gospel of Jesus, how does this convey God's profound love for the world? What is the good news for the collective of God's created life? And how are we shown the way to liberation through this message? And a significant part of what I see here is my own ableist attitudes reflected back to me. And I say this, and I want to be clear, this is not because I'm a yucky, evil person, right? In the same way that dominant perspectives from whiteness don't make white preachers evil, yucky people for preaching white perspectives, or male preachers from preaching male perspectives. But it means that as preachers and as people of God, we are invited into an extra layer of conscientiousness and a willing to fight for all of us. And privilege does not mean we get extra goodies, but that our life is not harder because of the part of our identity that is privileged. My life is not harder because I am white. It is not harder because I am abled. But it was harder for a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. It is harder for people who are not white. A significant piece of this means that we might walk away, particularly those of us whose lives are not daily touched by the realities of disability, to know that other disabled people may dream of healing in the way Bartimaeus did, and some don't. Some dream more particularly of a world in which ableism is erased, the way in which society creates a world that centers and privileges abled people, while creating not only obvious inequity of access and livelihood for disabled people, but is rife with paternalistic stereotypes and misconceptions. This is a barrier to healing and liberation for all of us. And one about many of us, and I name myself here, are woefully uninformed. I learned only this week about the existence of and battle over sub-minimum wage. If that's a new concept for you, you might want to Google it. The good news in Scripture is that we can choose to honor the dignity of all people following the example of Jesus Christ. We can say to one another, "What do you want me to do for you?" And we can listen. And we can say, "Tell me the story of your call, your gifts, your skills." Disability scholar Reverend Rodora Stewart says, quote, "You can restore the image of God among the fellowship of believers when you reach out, restore, rehumanize. Abled and disabled persons together, we are called to God's love in this way." Amen.
Now, with the whole church, let us profess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Set free from sin and death and nourished by the word of truth, we join in prayer for all of God's creation. Risen One, we give you thanks for congregations and ministries throughout the world that serve as centers of prayer and action. Empower missionaries, teachers, healers, evangelists, and all who are sent to share your song of joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy One, we give you thanks for generous land that produces abundant harvests. Strengthen and protect all soils, from rooftop gardens to prairie farmlands, to patio planters to fertile valleys, and bless all who lovingly tend them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Ruling One, we give you thanks for leaders of nations who work to build up the common good. Strengthen efforts of reconciliation among all nations, that peace extends in every direction. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Providing One, we give you thanks for all who provide for others. Inspire generosity in your people so that we carry out the work of making disciples of all nations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Healing One, we give you thanks for all who labor for the health of others. Comfort and strengthen all who struggle with chronic pain. Send healing and relief to all who are sick. Today we especially remember Lou Berg, Nicole Christie, Linnea Embleton, Bob and Caroline Evans, Arlene Fors, Alona Johnson, Keith Jurasovich, Joy Lathrop, Shirley Watson, and Genevieve Youngquist. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Living One, we give you thanks for the saints who have increased our faith. Give us courage to follow in hope until you gather us all around your table of abundance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Confident that you hear us, O God, we boldly place our prayers into your hands through Jesus Christ, our truth and life. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember the Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on this gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth, burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit, with your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moons and stars. We praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God, and they are freely given to us, the people of God. I invite you to come and kneel at the altar railings on either side to receive the bread and the cup. If you prefer not to climb the stairs, you may instead sit on a front pew and we will come and serve you there. Come, for Christ invites you to his table. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Now receive the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.